All right, week two of the gospel. I'm very, very excited about it because we're going to look at a passage of scripture today that you may be familiar with. You may have heard it before. But I believe with all my heart that if we can get what God is saying to us today in this passage of scripture, every single one of us in the room, it can change our life. All right, every single one of us, no matter where you are with God, he can change our life. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to join me. We're going to be in John 15. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to John. It's the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 15 is where we're going to be, starting verse 1, read through verse 6, and we're going to see what God has to say to us today. So if you wouldn't mind joining me and standing in the honor of reading God's Word, I'm going to start the passage, and we will get started. I'm excited. I really am. I believe God's going to do some things today. So here we go. John 15, starting in verse 1. This is Jesus talking. He says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Verse 6. "Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned." Let's pray. Father God, I ask now that you speak to us in these few moments we have together. Let your word reach into our hearts and change us. Father, I pray very specifically right now for everyone in this room who doesn't have a personal relationship with you. And I ask you right now to give them a divine encounter. Something they can't explain. But you can, Father, because you love them, you died for them, and this is their moment to begin a relationship with you. So let me pray. Amen. Be seated. And do know I pray that, and I mean it. Every week I pray that God changes lives. I pray that God wrecks you today. I pray if you're here today and you're checking out God for the first time, congratulations. You didn't know where you were, but God did, and God wants to change your life. So there you go. End of message. See y'all. Just kidding. Just kidding. This is a great passage. I love this passage of Scripture. And there's a lot going on. I'll just tell you that right now. In fact, there's too much going on. I can't cover every single thing going on in this passage. So I'm not going to try. But I want you to know that there is something I believe for every single person in the room today. I believe there's a message today for every person in the room. If you're in the room today and you feel far from God, maybe because you've been running for a while. Maybe you haven't been in church in a while. Maybe you don't feel like God likes you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, "I don't even believe in God. I'm not really sure why I'm even here." Good. I believe God has a message for you today. If you're here and you say, "No, Trey, man, I'm close with God. I walk with God all the time. We have a great relationship. I don't like everything he does, but I'm trucking along." Good. I believe God has a message for you today as well. And for the rest of us who are in between one of those two extremes. I'd include myself in the in-between there. God has a message for us today. So I'm going to try to keep it incredibly simple. All right? 3-point message. We're going Baptist today. I like that. 3 points. Yikes. No, we are not going Baptist today. I'm actually going to make fun of them in just a minute, so get ready. Here's what I want to do today. I want to give you a truth. I want to give you a warning. And I want to give you an encouragement. All right? A word of truth, a word of warning, and a word of encouragement. So let's get started, all right? Let's go back to the passage. John 15, 1, Jesus talking, says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener." So Jesus says, "I am the true grapevine." If someone said that today, we'd think they were crazy. But in Jesus' time, that was a very, very, very strong statement. Because, see, in the Old Testament, which is the first 2/3 of the Bible, tells the story of basically God's creation of the world and God's work in it through Adam and Eve up to about 400 years before Jesus was born. And he works a lot through the nation of Israel. They were his chosen nation. They were his chosen people. He chose them to follow him and hopefully draw all nations to him. And so Israel was a big deal. They knew they were God's chosen people. And often in the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah, it refers to the nation of Israel as the vine. They're often referred to as the vine. All right? If they were a football team, they would have been the Israel Vines. All right? It was their logo. They even had it on their money. Like, that's how big a deal it was to them to be the vine. Because for them, and just like in this passage, what the vine was the vine is the source of life. Now, you see the fruit, and you see the branches, but without the vine there, without that source, the fruit, the branches, none of it can prosper. Okay? So, in the Old Testament, Israel thought of itself as the source of life. If you want to have real life, if you want to have eternal life, if you want to have a good relationship with God, if you want to do all that, you have to be connected to us. That was their perspective. And so here Jesus comes along, and what he says is, he says, no. You are not the vine. I am the vine. Me, Jesus Christ. I am the source of life, hope, and happiness. Not you. And see, this was a huge deal. This was a very, very big deal when Jesus said this. This is actually what got Jesus killed. Because he claimed to be the vine. He said, I'm the source of life. Not them. Not your rules. Not your regulations. Not your attending synagogue regularly. Like the religious leaders, like your preachers tell you have to do. No, I am the vine. And they killed him because the religious leaders really liked the power. They really liked being in control of the people. Much like our religious leaders of today. They're never happier. I'm not saying names, but famous religious people. You'll know who I'm talking about. They are never happier than when they're telling you to boycott something. Ever. Ever. Or when they're telling you who to vote for. And see, what they're doing is they're telling you, I'm the source of life. I have all the answers. But if you want to fit in with me, and if you want to walk with me, you have to obey me. You have to do what I say. That's what the religious leaders of Jesus' day had done too. They had taken God's perfect holy word, which the Bible says of itself, and I believe, is perfect and complete and adequate and able to train and direct us for any good work. And what they had said is, that's not enough. See, the true source of life, God and His Son, isn't enough. So we have to add to it. We have to help people because they're dumb. So we have to help people know how to follow God. So they had added hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of rules on top of what God had said. Sound familiar? Rules like, you know, you can't watch that movie, or your kids can never go to public school, or I won't say that one because it'll get me in trouble. It was good too. Find me later. I'll tell you what I was going to say. But I'm learning. I would have said that 2 months ago, but I'm learning. I'm learning. But see, they had created these extra rules, and they had told other people, this is the source of life. Follow all these rules. Follow all these regulations. Do everything I say just like I say it. And maybe, just maybe, that'll be enough for God to like you. Maybe. And there was a lot of power to that. There was a lot of power to being the guy who said what you had to do to make God like you. Because what you ended up doing was telling people to do stuff you like or you didn't like. And Jesus comes along and changes everything. And they don't really like that. But see, I believe if Jesus were even alive today, I think he would say the same thing. He is alive, he's in heaven. But if he were preaching here today, see, I think he would say again, I am the true vine. I think he would say to churches. I think he would say to denominations. I think he would say to Baptists. Hey, Baptists, I am the vine. And you're not. You don't have the market cornered on me. I think you'd say to Catholics, hey Catholics, I'm the vine, and you're not. You don't have the market cornered on me. I think you get the point. I could say a bunch of other denominations. I'm not just singling those two out. But they're just the two biggest here. And I think he would say, I'm the vine, and you're not. Because for good or bad, what we tend to do is we want to disconnect from Jesus, and we want to give ourselves these rules and these regulations and this nice little booklet that says, all right, if I do these 5 things, I'm good enough with God, and then I can go on with my life. Right? Isn't that kind of what we do? See, in Jesus' day, it was the same as today. What we had done, what the religious leaders had done, and we've done this, I'll take one for the team here, is one of the biggest things we had convinced people was the source of life, was the way you connected to God. The thing that mattered the most was right here, right now. Was, are you in church? Well, did you attend church today? We've basically made church a Subway. The sandwich place, not a... And we've given you all Subway Eat Free cards. And we've taught you 9 punches. You get that tenth one's free. And that's how you view church. And that's how you view this whole thing. Is I'm going to go on with my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. But as long as I drag myself to church every Sunday morning and I'm sitting there for an hour, I get my card punched. And then I'm going to be good with God. And it's really, let's be honest, it's not 9 out of 10. I wish it was 9 out of 10. That'd be fantastic. It's more like 50-50 over the course of our lifetime. If we figure that we spent more Sundays in church than out of church. That's why if you grew up going to church, you stopped going for your 20s. Because you're just burning Sundays. You're like, but I've got so many Sundays left. And then when you hit 30 and you have kids, you realize it'd be great to have something to do with the kids for a couple hours. Let's go back to church. Let's go to church, man. They even take them for an hour. It's fantastic. See, we've taught ourselves that obeying these rules, that's the source of life. And I'm here to tell you, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. I love the church. I've given my life for the church. But hear me when I say this. The church is not the vine. It is not the source of life. Jesus himself is the source of life. Jesus is the one who gave his life for me and for you. Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for every mistake I'll ever make so that God can look at me again. Now don't get me wrong. Church is phenomenal. Clearly I like church. I wouldn't do this if I didn't. But church is a place where we come together. Church is something we are. Church is people. It's the coming together of people who follow God, the branches, to connect with the vine and to tell other people about him. That's what church is supposed to be. Because see, what church can't do is church can't save you. There is not a number of times you can sit in this seat that's going to be good enough for God to say, okay, now you're in. There's not a number of times you can get that card punched where God's going to say, okay, now you get in free. The only way that happens is what Jesus is telling us in this passage. I am the vine. I am the source of life. Jesus Christ is the source of life. He is the vine. And he also says here, not only does he say, I'm the vine, he says, I am the true grapevine. See, he goes out of his way to say, I am the true vine. I am the true source of life. So what that tells me, and so does, you know, living, tells me that there are a lot of cheap imitations out there. A lot of cheap imitations trying to convince you that they are the source of life. Now we live in Myrtle Beach, so we know a lot about cheap imitation, right? Like we Eagles, anyone? I mean, we are well acquainted with cheap imitation. And there are some areas of life where cheap imitation is not a bad thing. All right, take food for example. You've heard of Fruit Loops, right? Well, I present to you Fruit Whirls. Cheap imitation of the real thing. All right? I might could trick my kids into thinking that's Fruit Loops. I don't think I could, but who knows? Dr. Pepper. Everybody likes Dr. Pepper, right? Well, how about Dr. Bob? Dr. Bob is a chiropractor. Didn't work. Sorry. I made another joke last hour. They didn't laugh at it either. I guess you people are just, I don't know, mean. Or just food in general. We have some pasta here. This is my favorite. This is basically, I consider this a cheap imitation of food. Ramen noodles. Right? Now, cheap imitations, they're okay for some things. They really are. All right, we're okay. Like when you go to get your oil changed, and the guy talks to you and says, blah, 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 top oil. I'm like, cheapest, just cheapest, because I don't know. I think he's lying to me. So the cheap imitation's fine. But we'd all agree there are some areas where we don't really want a cheap imitation of the real thing. Okay? If we're going in for open heart surgery, we want a real surgeon. We don't want some guy that slept in a Holiday Inn last night. Right? When we get on our plane to fly across the Atlantic, we want a real pilot. We do not want a cheap imitation of the real thing. And see, for me, when it comes to the source of all meaning of life, purpose, happiness, contentment on the planet, I'm with Marvin Gaye, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing. Ain't nothing like the real thing. So here's a question for you. What are you grasping at? What cheap imitations right now are you substituting for the true source, the true vine, Jesus? What cheap imitations are you looking towards to make you happy, to give you comfort, to give you peace, to give you security? Is it your job? The same job where they just laid off half the force? Not too sure I'd rely on that to make me feel safe. Is it your kids? Have you met your kids? Is it a relationship with someone of the opposite sex? A spouse? A boyfriend? A girlfriend? They're going to let you down. Maybe it's the hope. Maybe that's what you're chasing. The hope of happiness with a man. I'll just tell you right now, we're terrible. The only reason my wife can tolerate me is because Jesus loves her and she loves me through Jesus. See, I've said it before, and I'll say it again because I like to repeat myself. Those things I just listed, your job, money, security, habit, that's not bad stuff. It's not bad to want a relationship. It's really not. It's not bad to love your kids. It's not bad to love your job. It's not bad to work harder to get a new job. None of that is bad. None of those are bad things. But they are absolutely terrible gods. Like the worst. So what is your source of life? What are you looking towards to give you fulfillment and contentment? What do you get out of bed in the morning for? What gets your heart pumping? What gives you comfort when everything else is terrible? See, Jesus is over in the corner saying, that's my job. Me. Because I'm the true grapevine. I'm the source of life. I'm the source of everything you'll ever want and ever need and ever could possibly want. Right here. Please stop replacing me with these other things. Please stop replacing me with these things that can never do what I died for you to do. Jesus is a source of life. He said it in a minute. And that's why Wellspring exists. Because our prayer is that you will eventually understand and believe and radically transform your life because of the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died for you. And He is the source of life for you. That's the truth for today. Let's keep going. Verse 2. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. See, this is the word of warning. That God the Father is going to cut off every branch of Jesus, every branch that doesn't produce fruit. See, what this means is if you're not connected to Jesus Christ through a vital relationship with Him that's growing, it means you don't have life. And it means you're in danger of being cut off. That's what it means. It means you're in danger of being cut off. So, how do we know? How do we know if we're connected to Jesus? I mean, I know how we think we know. It's because we go to church more than we miss. And sometimes we'll drop a $5 bill in the offering plate, right? And dude, I put a Jesus fish on my car. I'm good. I wore a What Would Jesus Do bracelet once. All right? I listen to KLTY every now and again. I rock out to it. Me and JC are good. Maybe. But I want to show you what the Bible says about how to know if we are producing fruit, which is what the Bible says. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. So we probably want to produce fruit. So let's find out what it is. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, if you read that, I mean, how does that not make you think of me, right? I'm so glad y'all laughed. Yeah. Here's the deal. No, not at all, right? I struggle with all those. So I don't want you to hear me saying that a Christ follower is perfect, that a Christ follower has all these figured out. No, I will spend the rest of my life trying to become more loving, trying to experience peace. I will spend eternity trying to develop patience. My wife laughed too loud at that one. I exhibited self-control last night when I didn't throw the remote at the television when the Gamecocks lost. A buddy of mine texted me this morning and said he broke a lamp. And I said, you have no fruit. I didn't say that. But that's the fruit. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says is proof. When these things in our life, these traits are coming out. When we're becoming more loving and joyful and patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle. That's the deal. So here's the warning today. The warning today is twofold. Because some of you in the room have no illusions about your relationship with God at all. You have no illusions about it. You don't believe in Him. You're not really even sure why you're here. Somebody drug you here. You got conned into it. That's fine. Actually, you know what I say to you? I say welcome. I say welcome to Wellspring Church. Enjoy yourself. Feel free to dip your toe into the water here. Because here's what we know. Not believe, know. If you come here and you open yourself up and you say, all right, this is kind of cool. Music's good. That worship leader is incredibly fit. He is, isn't he? He's jacked. I used to train with him, then I quit. I'm going to open myself up to this. I'm going to open myself up to the possibility that maybe this is real. Here's what we know. God will show Himself to you, and your life will be changed. Without a doubt. It's as simple as I know if I jump up, I'm going to fall right back down. Because just as much as God created gravity, God loves you. He died for you, and He's been waiting for an opportunity to begin a relationship with you. So I know it for a fact. But what I'll say, the warning, is you're not promised tomorrow. That's the warning. You never know. God's offering Himself right now. And He's going to keep offering. He's going to keep chasing. But you're not offered tomorrow, and you're in danger of being cut off. Now, the bigger warning I have for today, actually, is not for those people, because those people know where they are. The warning I have today is for the people in the room who have been on the Subway sandwich version of relating to God, who've been stamping their book, who drag themselves out of bed on Sundays, usually about 50% of the time, so that they feel like they're good with God. But they walk out these doors, and there is no difference between them and everybody else who has no interest in God. It's those of you who are not in any way, shape, or form producing fruit. See, you've been sold a lie. You've been sold an idea that a cheap imitation of the real thing is enough. a cheap imitation, a cheap relationship with God, based specifically on how bad you think you were that week. Pretty bad. Yeah, I guess I better go to church. And I was real bad. I better put $10 in the plate this week, not just $5. Because I was real bad. And if I go 2 weeks in a row, or if I serve, man, I worked with kids last week. I can send it up. I kind of do believe that, I think. No, I'm just kidding. And you know who you are, right? I mean, you know right now, because when I was reading those things, when I was reading about love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, you were thinking in your head, yeah, there are people here who do that. I like those people, but I'm not one of them. I wonder why not. I wonder why that's not in me. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because you've been chasing a cheap imitation of the real thing. But cheap imitations are tricky. I mean, there's a reason that they wanted this to look like Fruit Loops. It was so they hoped you could trick your kids into eating this instead of Fruit Loops. Folks, you've been tricked. And I'm here to tell you, you're in danger of being cut off. Rules and regulations is not a way to build a relationship with the God of the universe. That only comes through His Son, the true source, the true vine. And His Word tells me, if I have a relationship with the true source of life, with the true vine, then I don't have a choice in the fact that He is going to move through me, He is going to change me, and people are going to notice. I will become more loving, more patient. Maybe yours is self-control. Maybe that's all God can do through you on this earth. Probably me too. But if day by day you're finding yourself able to have more self-control because you pray and God's changing you, then you are alive and He is in you. But if you're not bearing fruit, if you are not producing these changes, if other people don't see it, if it is not an active, vital, vibrant part of your day-to-day life, your relationship with God, then I warn you right now that you run the risk of being cut off. Because there's a chance you've given in to a cheap imitation of the real thing. So that's the warning. Bet you guys wish I'd skipped the warning. But let me give you the encouragement. All right? This brings me to my encouragement. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. See, I want to briefly talk to those of you in the room who, you know, you've been listening so far, but you're like, that's not me, Trey. I'm a lot of things. I'm a sinner. I make a mistake all the time. But I have a growing relationship with the God of the universe, and He's changing me from the inside out. I know that. And I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm thrilled to be a part of what's going on. Here's how I want to encourage you today. Because I've been there. There are times, and maybe you're in one right now, where you feel like God is cutting you off. Maybe you're having financial problems. Bills just keep stacking up, and you cannot figure out why. Maybe you've just recently lost a job. Or just recently lost a relationship that you thought you were supposed to be in. And it's gone now. And you can't figure out why. You feel like God is punishing you. You feel like He has turned His back on you. Here's all I want to tell you. He's not punishing you. He hasn't turned His back on you. God's Word tells us right here that He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. See, God is pruning you. God is trimming away the things in your life that are holding back your potential. That's what you do when you're trying to get your flowers to grow, right? You prune and you clip away so that the branches that are producing fruit have more room to grow more. And what you're going through right now, you may think God is punishing you. You may think it's painful. But I want to encourage you, man, God is pruning you. And He's doing it because He loves you. And he's doing it because he knows what's next and you don't. Pruning is always a painful process. It is. But it's always a positive process when the gardener knows what he's doing. And lucky you. Your gardener is the king of the universe. He knows what he's doing. I know it's tough. I know it's painful. I know sometimes you want to just throw things and say, God, why? Why is this happening? Why do things? I don't get it. I'm trying. And what he says is, I'm pruning. And you're going to be okay. Just hang with me. Just remain in me. The next verse, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. See, one of the fruits I mentioned there was faithfulness. And that's what God asks for, to have faith in him, to believe, despite your circumstances, despite what's happening right now, despite the fact that the stock market's crashed, despite the fact that you can't find a job, despite the fact that he just broke up with you and you knew he was the one. Remain in Jesus. Trust Jesus. Cling to Jesus. He says, remain in me and I'll remain in you. Do you believe that? Do you hear that? Jesus is saying, you stick with me and I'll stick with you. The God of the universe is saying, you get my back, I got yours. Just hang with me. Just stay with me. Because I'm pruning you and I'm preparing you so that I can unlock your potential to do things you cannot imagine. That's his promise. That's what he's doing. But you got to remain in him. You got to hang tight. You got to stay strong. And I know you're struggling. But hear God today when he says, I'm pruning you and I love you. Remain in me. Because if we don't, we can do nothing. We can do nothing, John. 15, verse 5, let's keep reading it. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And that sounds silly, right? You can do tons of things apart from God. We talked about it last week. He had a blast apart from God. But I'm not even going to do the easy ones like that. You can serve on a charity board apart from God. You can help end human trafficking apart from God. You can try to help people have clean water all around the world apart from God. You can. And you'll say, that's something. That's something. And what God would say is, it's not me. It's not my plan for you, and it's not going to last. It's not eternal. Because it's going to be cut off too. Last verse, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. See, the reason this is so crucial, the reason this is so important, is because this isn't a myth. This isn't a legend. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a game. This is life or death. This is the source of life. Jesus Christ saying to you today, I am the true vine. And if you are connected to me, you are becoming like me, and people are being drawn to me. So if that's not happening, quit fooling yourself. Go to the beach or something. There is literally zero reason to attend church just for the sake of attending. You get to sit in comfortable chairs and take a nap. Jesus says, I am the source of life. Put it another way, Jesus says, I am the answer to every question you've ever asked. I am the fulfillment of every need you've ever had. I am the satisfaction for every desire you've ever had. Because I created them. I gave them to you. And who better to fulfill them than me? But you've got to make a choice. You've got to come to a point and you've got to say, all right, I'm going to give up the cheap imitations. I am. And I'm going to try the real thing. I want to know what the source is like. I want to experience that. And I want to allow you, Jesus, to change my life. It's yours. Use it however you want. I'll follow you. And I'm going to remain in you. Because you're going to remain in me. Because you got my back. I know some of you today, you need to make that decision right now. Some of you came into this room with no interest in God whatsoever, but you know right now Jesus is the real thing and you need to follow him. Others of you in the room today, you've been faking it. You've been living the lie. You've been punching the card. But as I'm sitting here talking, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're in danger of being cut off. You know you do not have a real relationship with Jesus because there's no fruit. There's no change going on inside of you. I'm here to tell you today, today is the day to make it real. Today is the day to connect to the source of life. So I'm going to invite you now to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel, the greatest news ever sent to humanity, which is God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. He loved you so much that he sent his son to rescue you. And all you have to do is accept the gift and commit to live for him forever. So if you want to do that right now, pray in your heart as I pray aloud. Just repeat after me. Talk to God. God, I admit to you that I have been chasing a cheap imitation of the real thing. And it hasn't worked. I ask you to forgive me for ignoring you. Forgive me for trying things my own way. But today I believe. Today I believe you're the source of life. And I want to experience that. So right here, right now, I commit to doing everything I can to try for the rest of my life to listen to you, to serve you, and to live for you, because I want the real thing.